Welcome to the Unified Endurance Podcast, episode 196. Rob Foster, hello.
Hello, Thomas Ward.
You appear twice on this show.
I do.
And that is because between me and Rob Jones, we are not podcast producers. I think it's what we've learned.
Trying hard.
Episode 196 had four parts to it, even just 10 minutes ago. And I've decided now, no, we're doing two parts. You're in the second part as well as the first. Yeah. There was another part of me talking about Xterra, which is now 2 weeks ago, but we're going to cover that here.
Yes.
Rob Jones also might pop in at some point and talk about his recent Spartathlon.
Long one.
Where we can segue into our show sponsor here of Hoka.
Hoka.
I can't wait to ask this guy the questions. He wanted to finish, I saw, in his Carbon X2s, but I think he was still wearing his Mach 5s.
I think he couldn't get them off.
That is just incredible, though. 245 kilometers, 33 hours. We looked at his training peaks today.
Yeah.
1,088 TSS for a run.
And like 1,900 calories. No, it was 19,000 calories. 19,000
close
calories.
To 30 coffees.
That's a lot of coffees. He's going to be metabolizing that for quite a while, isn't he?
Insane. And if Rob Jones has done what he said and he's going to insert how he got on at Spartathlon, you will now hear that here.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to record a quick message to say, firstly, just a massive thank you to everyone who followed me, tracked me, sent me a message, sent Marcus a message, sent my wife Heidi a message, sent a video, Instagrammed me, have sent me messages of congratulations in the last 24 to 48 hours since I finished that race in Greece. It has been an absolute whirlwind. I'm still trying to process everything, still trying to figure out what the hell I've done to my left foot, but getting my phone back after the race, I was absolutely overwhelmed by the sheer number of messages that I'd received. So I just wanted to say a big thank you. It didn't go unnoticed. I think I've replied to all, if not most of you. And if I haven't, I promise I will. Hopefully doing something like that can maybe inspire some of you guys to take on a challenge that is absolutely astronomical in size and come out the other side a better person. So thank you as always for following, and I'll see you back soon.
You may have heard from Rob then, we're not sure.
He might still be asleep.
I hope he's still asleep.
Once it hits him, right?
Mate, what else has been with you're on the show today to talk about our community program.
Yeah.
But we should also, I mean, we're in the intro these days. I don't know if we listen to the show often, mate, but we round up what's been going on in the community.
Wow, what have we had? This weekend gone, we had everything. We had Rob Jones. I mean, he is an integral part of the community. He took himself off to Greece when Jeff helped him out and Marcus helped him out.
With his holiday buddies.
With his holiday, the Three Musketeers, as the likely lads. And they smashed out an amazing event. And then what else do we have this weekend? We had a Roy Nasser brick preparation because we've got Roy Nasser coming up this weekend.
So yes.
That's pretty cool.
It was a good session on Saturday.
Yeah, you ran that, didn't you?
Well, I rode, yeah, but I was there to officiate.
Officiate, making sure people don't run on the tarmac, I saw.
Service announcement, by the way. When you're running from Zads to the mosque, which is an incredible place to run, but please just run off the bike track for safety more than anything.
It's getting very busy now in Al-Qudra, so the more you can spend off that is better, because you're just going to get hit and you're going to really annoy a lot of cyclists.
Yeah, and there was, if you're the angry man, I don't know who you were, but someone out there on Saturday was running down that place getting shouted at by cyclists, and all you were doing was shouting back at them. We're just having an absolute shit show, and it's a Saturday morning and people just want to enjoy their morning safely.
Just go to a football match. It's just
like, calm down.
So we had that, and then on Sunday we had the group run, which was the collaboration between Inner Fight Endurance and Inner Fight Ladies Run Club, which was pretty good. We had a good turnout there. The conditions seemed to have turned a bit in the wrong direction again.
For the long run day.
A little segue into Humanity Central.
Yeah.
But we still had happy people finishing, so that was really cool as well.
So this weekend coming, there is going to be the Roy Nasser Memorial Triathlon on Deira Islands. You will find me and this skinny guy zipping about on mountain bikes, I think we've agreed.
Bunny hopping people, apparently.
Yeah, bunny hopping people, shouting at our guys who are doing the race. And Dubai Harbour Run is on Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be good fun. That'll be full gas. That's in Dubai Harbour, funnily enough. And it's 5, 10 or 15 kilometres worth of running, which will be very good to watch. We've got a lot of people turning up for that as well. So meet point, we'll do a big group warm-up, go and smash life, and then run around and smash some avocados afterwards in common grounds.
Unreal segues. You're learning. You're learning. Might have to put you in the monthly roster for this show from now on. The other thing you hear at the end of this show is Rob Jones tee me up to put in an Xtero segment. I'm going to completely ruin the show now and talk about it here before we get to him.
Yeah, it's quite an impressive thing you did there. Just want to explain to the people who are listening, the thousands, what it was and how scared you were throughout.
Yeah, I probably have not confused as many people as this since the last time I took Track Tuesday, but Xtero is a off-road triathlon. And what that means is you're not riding your triathlon bike off-road. It means you're riding a mountain bike.
Could you potentially take a TT bike on that course?
Not that course. Okay. There's some I think you could. But no, this course was in the Dolomites, an incredible area. You love the Dolomites. And you always say to me, Dolomites, stuff like this.
In that accent, exactly. Yeah.
And I was like, mate, calm down. I've been to the Alps, you know, you're Pyrenees.
You're thinking you, right?
Yeah, and... Foie. Dolomites, there's something special there.
It's a place, right? I think it's good because there's so much elevation. There's so much like raw natural beauty and the roads are exceptional. And apparently the mountain biking is also very good.
Yeah. So we were in, the race was in a place called Molveno. We stayed about, well, if they could build a straight road, everything would be a lot closer. But by default of how many road, of the road it was, we were about 20 to 30 minutes drive from Molveno Lake in a beautiful town. I cannot remember the name of it. It was like a complicated name, Camano Terme or something like that. The town had two names. It's confusing the hell out of me. Anyway, we stayed down there and it was a kind of a walking hub place. People went there to then go off on these walking trails. However, Molveno is a mountain bike hub. So you go there and then you can connect yourself off to different trails and they've got a gondola there. You can stick your bike in. And one of the things I did on the Thursday, because when it comes to this race, I'm a complete amateur. Like, I do not know what's going on.
So
I knew, because qualified in Oman, I knew that the race would be very different. Oman was pretty flat. It's technical, hard stone trail. And the run is, as you'd imagine, a run to be in a in Oman. Again, not very hard or technical. This race, though, was in Italy and it was the World Championships. And the mountain bike course is an actual mountain bike course built for downhill mountain biking.
Insane.
I can't remember the name of the trail now, but it had quite a cool name. Anyway, they've got loads of different trails and names going off. So on the Thursday, I was like, right, I'm going to treat myself like I am an amateur. And so I went to the mountain bike clinic, which was run by Doug Hall and Conrad Stolz.
Hitters.
Conrad Stolz has been world champion 4 times, nicknamed the caveman. and so I rocked up and very much played, well, as I was, the amateur. And they coached in a really interesting way, the way that you'd imagine mountain bikers to coach, really, which was they gave the rein, you know, gave people a load of freedom to figure a lot out. We rode up to the top of the harder downhill section. And then the goal was to just be comfortable with knowing what line you're going to pick when you come down. So they didn't tell us what the right or wrong line was. However, they told us what made a good line and a bad line. And then we rode/walked down the course, basically trying to figure out what line we were comfortable with taking. It was really tricky. Riding it on the Thursday where you're not in a race scenario, even at that point, I was like, this is going to be tough. But then Friday, it rained for 24 hours. And if you watch my stories, you'll have seen us walking down the course. I took Boz. I baited her into coming and walking downhill with me.
What did you use as bait?
I just said, we'll go quickly walk the mountain bike course and grab some lunch. And it took us about an hour and a half to come down and it just rained the whole time. So the course was really saturated. And of course, they build in runoffs and drainage and things, but that amount of rain, there's just nothing you can do.
No, so all the roots are slippy, all the mud's just flowing.
Tree roots, yeah, which is something we just don't deal with here.
That's a thing, right?
It's like ice. A wet tree root is like pure ice. I didn't realize it, but yeah. I mean, you just put a wheel on it and you're slipping. And it's whether you slip into traction or if you slip into another slippy surface like a rock, then you're definitely going over.
And if it's multiple tree roots, multiple ice sheets, basically, then you're setting yourself up for an right old fall, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to see how you've gone from like a triathlon when it's on actually road, which is really disciplined, very like structured and controllable environment, whereas you're getting told to pick your own line and getting told like the information that provides that provides you a good decision-making process.
Yeah.
And then asking you to streamline that into being able to race the next day.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite a learning experience, right?
Big time. I was hoping to ride the course again on the Friday, but obviously they closed the course actually to try and save it for race day. But it was an interesting race day even before it started, because although I was nervous because I knew I would be struggling, there wasn't that, like, I can't really describe it, but you know, before even a half Ironman or an Ironman, there's nerves there from everybody. So everybody gets nervous because you're passing it on.
Yeah.
Even before a marathon, people are feeling it.
Yeah.
They pass on the nerves to you, but the Xterra crowd, they're just so chilled. Like,
yeah.
Before the race, they're chilled, right? Different story during, but before, it was kind of, no one's rushing around panicking, and yeah, they shut the transition zone, but they weren't like being really funny about it. And yeah, it was just a chilled place. And I think part of that is because these races are in just incredible, beautiful places in the world. And so people tend to just be a little bit more relaxed. Mountain bikers in general, a bit more relaxed. But anyway, we watched the pros start. They started an hour before us. And the sun came out. It was a beautiful day for the race, but the course was still really wet and really slippy. And so I kept visualizing the line I wanted to take on this downhill section, which was 7K long. But once the race began, I came out, knock on Xterra athletes here, they can't swim very well, probably due to the amount of broken collarbones that there's been. But yeah, it was a race where I came out, I think, top 80 in the swim out of everybody. But that meant that I was with the really good mountain bikers. And it was just absolute carnage, because there's one good line to take. So 400 athletes are trying to take, or obviously not the same time, but you're in a pack of, let's say, five or six good mountain bikers all fighting for the same line. And if you slip a little bit, you miss a gear, anything that throws you off it, there's no like, oh, it's okay, mate, jump back in. It's like, get out of the way. And that was hard. And immediately I was with a pack on the lower slopes, if you like. And as soon as we hit the technical section of the uphill climb, I realized like I'm so far out of my depth here. So far out of my depth. I just got out of the way. And at one point I was parked off the side of the line you wanted to be on. And I was just letting riders through, because I was like, I'm just going to get in their way. Just come on through.
Being the nice guy. Yeah. Don't get shouted at by any angry Italians anymore.
Yeah. And it was a two-lap course. And the first lap I just spent almost in shock. I was just like, wow, this is incredible. Just to watch it. And we got to the downhill section, and yeah, I had the line in my head, got to doing it. And I was just like, nope. There was probably a 400 to 500 meter section where it's really technical and you've got to be right on the ball. I just got off the bike and walked down with my bike.
Solid decision, mate.
Just to not cause trouble for other people, you know? And I felt quite bad for a few of the racers, like professionals who we caught actually. A lot of the age groupers were just, there's no like forgiveness there. It's just get out the way. You're not on the right line, get out the way. And that was interesting to watch. But the second lap, it opened right up. I think I dropped about 200 places and then got to ride. I fell off going uphill on the first lap, which bent my derailleur a little bit. But the second lap, I actually thought to myself on the first lap, right, today just finishing is going to be my achievement.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it also, to put it in context, you are at the World Championships of the Xterra. So you're with like the top gun, the best of the best of the best. So yeah, these guys can all handle their mountain bikes. And if you haven't been exposed to that in Europe especially, you're going up against something that's totally totally foreign to you. Like, and you took the same race. Humaid with you, right?
Yeah.
How did he get on?
Humaid said he had a great time.
Amazing. Yeah,
and he didn't ride the course at all because he flew in on the Friday and then he couldn't ride it on the Friday because it was too wet. But I actually think Humaid's been riding his mountain bike for a long time, and so he understood how to tuck it, and I sent him a few videos before the race helping him figure out the line and things. And but he was already quite far back, so you have a different crowd around you.
Yeah.
On the second lap, I was back where I should have been with the right crowd, and it was the most supportive one lap of a mountain bike course I've ever done. People around you are just laughing with you, you know. Like, we're walking up some of those climbs, you know, and people are like, how is anyone riding this? And we're just all laughing. And I said, I've probably ran with my bike on my shoulder more than I've actually ridden this bloody course. And on the downhills, people are just a little bit more relaxed, but that's because it was the second lap and it had all spaced out so much.
Do you also think it was quite mentally challenging? Not in so much as like you're getting people's way, but also the concentration required to hit the right line, try and pick it when you haven't got the experience, is like 20 times more focus required to just to stay online.
Yeah, that was hard. And the other side, I really found it hard with just the ego. It was like, I'm used to overtaking a lot of people.
Yeah.
And in this, I got overtaken, 200 times in lap one or whatever. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, it really hurts, but it's amazing. And the only reason I wanted to stop on the first lap was because I was like, what am I doing? I'm just not meant to be here. But then I was like, well, just finish. And that's the achievement.
Yeah.
So I just had to change the context a little bit through coming, ready in for the second lap. And I enjoyed the lap two so much more. Number one, because I had a lot more time because no one was dive bombing me around. And number two, because I just changed the goal. I don't know what my goal was before, to be honest, was just to have fun. But then I realized the goal now is to actually finish because it's going to be hard enough to not. But I've never been so happy to put my bike in a rack and start running.
What was the run like?
The run was hard because, I mean, it was hard in one section. You ran along the lake shore to begin with, and then you start to climb up a trail. And then there was a section, which, because it was two laps of the run course, we did it twice, where you're climbing sort of hands and knees. There's a rope by the side of the course to help pull you up. But you're climbing up really steep mud bank. You climb all the way up to the top, which, so all the climbing comes in about 2K, and it's 150 meters per lap. And then you run really fast section down the road back into the race village and cross. And then they've got like two ramp obstacles, they call them, in the village that you've got to run up and down. So I felt great on the run at about 8K into the 10K. I was like, oh, I feel warmed up now.
Standard
for me.
It's not on half Ironman or Ironman. You start to get warmed up just as you're finishing the race.
Yeah. But then, finished, and I was in, I think 200 and I was definitely in the back half of the field, which again, is just cool to experience again, what it's like. I mean, for sure, it makes me better coach. And it makes me just think, we've got some goals to set here, because I really enjoyed it. And it's a new skill. It's something, something that's making me think a lot and like activate parts of my brain again that go, oh yeah, this is fun.
So next summer you'll be taking your mountain bike and road bike to Europe, hills, right?
Just camp out there. Yeah. I think we're going to target, obviously there's Xterra Oman, and then I was chatting to someone in the bike wash queue who runs Xterra Greece.
Yeah.
So Xterra Greece, I think, is what we're going to go to.
Yeah, Marcus has already been on already meetings with him, hasn't he? Yeah. And there's also a local scene here in Dubai that's just released their roster, I think. So they've got about five races that you can do, the mountain bike series. So if you want to upskill on mountain biking, that's the place to go.
Yeah. I think as well, it reminded me the triathlon community is so strong. Like the final finishes were maybe coming in around the 7 hour mark, and people are like lining up to get their bike wash, but everybody running past them is getting a clap, a cheer.
And
they're in their 70s.
So good.
It's amazing
to do that course as well, right?
Yeah, honestly, mate, unreal. And there's something a bit more, let's say pure, but there's something, they care less in the off-road scene.
They care less about everything. You can just, because it's not been taken over by, well, it's got a lot of tech there and there's a lot of performance things, but at the end of the day, it's you and your bike or you and your feet, or not in most Xterra swimmers, you and your hands and legs.
Yeah.
It's just you go and it's an enjoyable experience, I expect.
Yeah, it is. So if you are, I think I sort of have used it as a way of staying within triathlon and not just like, you know, saying, right, I'm not going to do road triathlon anymore and therefore I'm not doing a triathlon at all. It's just like, no, this is just a fun way to relearn almost a new sport, but stay within swim, bike and run.
Yeah. And what do you think? I mean, this is a bit of a coaching question. So the demands of that sport, it's same triathlon, but the demands of the course, the demands of their efforts involved, how does that, and do you think you could come, firstly, how does that change and how would that differ in terms of your approach? But also, do you think you could do that sort of training for off-road, like Xterra, and then come back on to a pure, like, Olympic and do just as well?
I think it would depend on the course of the road triathlon. There's a guy, Bradley Weiss, he does Ironman and he also does Xterra, and mad respect for him because Xterra is basically, I mean, for the pros, it's under 3 hours. For normal guys, for me, getting under four under four was solid. It's basically 4 hours of interval training.
Yeah.
Like really high power, then like technical, you know, trying to get your balance back to really high power, balance, that kind of thing. Only the swim was a steady effort. The bike and the run are both just interval training for the distances. So obviously Ironman is just hold the power as best you can and try and stick at it, and smooth is what you want to be. Whereas this is pretty much the opposite of it. So I would say if you've already built a great base, then Xterra might actually enhance your ability to ride in a road triathlon if you do it sort of 12 weeks out and then go back to holding your power stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be tricky. I don't know. Because shorter distances, again, if the course, like here, a lot of the courses are like U-turn, like there's a lot of turns, which in which case interval training is not a bad way of training for them. But if you're looking for like to get good at Ironman, I wouldn't say do Xterra to help you.
Yeah. Maybe in the off season, just for a bit of fun and VO2 work.
Definitely that, yeah.
Also, the mountain biking could help you with your cornering skills, so then you could fly out the corners a bit better and carry more speed. So then,
yeah, I think if you rode your bike enough, it would. It's really odd though. Even Saturday, getting back on my road bike, or the Wednesday, is like you go back to narrow bars and you're like, it feels, you know, just feels different. But it's definitely good for like higher power interval efforts for sure, but it's obviously not specific to your race position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decent.
Happy Very days, decent. Then. Right. I'll now hand over to you and Rob Jones. This was recorded last week.
Yeah.
Rob Jones has just finished Spartathlon.
Yes.
You may have heard from him, maybe not, but he, well, have you got any thoughts on that, mate? 245 kilometers, one hit.
I think we talked about it before. I think there's only one person we know that could have done that in the way that he's done it, in the way he's built up to it, and smiled probably 90% of the time, even if some of it was a grimace. I think it's absolutely it's such an achievement for him. He's done some pretty cool stuff. Yeah, UTMB, he did that really, like, he did very well at that.
Yeah.
Didn't, but this looks like it's really broken him. And the way they structure it, so when they ask you to do two back-to-back marathons in sub-9.
Yeah.
They stitch you up for a positive split. But as we were saying, Jones is perfect remit.
That's what he does like anyway.
Go out like a spaniel. But yeah, it's quite, when you look at the stats and you look at all that, we've checked his Training Peaks file just to see it, it's quite, I can't even comprehend it.
That's insane. And I think what the best part for me from him is, if you can kind of understand this, the only way Jonesy did what he did is because of the past 6-7 years of what he's done.
Yeah.
You know, to try and train in a structured, periodized kind of way to run 244Ks in one hit, 245Ks in one hit, you're probably not going to be able to do it. And I think he realized that a couple of months ago. And so he put the effort into being the best dad, the best husband, the best coach he could be. And he's like, the running will be what it will be. And I think that's the key, because he'll have gone through some incredibly dark times in his 33 hours of running, but he knew he's been living its best that he can be. Now, that's different to being training as best that you can. And as we always say, don't turn up to a start line when your house is on fire, because you're only going to be worried about the fire. Turn up to the start line knowing that you've smashed life, which is one of our brand values. And that is how you get through such incredible distances and feats of endurance.
Yeah, I think, yeah, he's got his all ducks in a line, as they call it.
Yeah.
He's got his priority list absolutely bang on for this, which is why he wasn't stressed, he wasn't itching, he wasn't doing stupid things at the last minute to try and catch up. And if you said at the start, it's been 6 years, 4 to 6 years in the making. If you look at it actually from that perspective, he has been doing a block systematic training up to this event, unwittingly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's been consistently doing ultra events, long runs, speed work, yeah, working on his weaknesses for the last 6 years. It's not a thing that happen overnight.
Yeah.
Hoke it overnight. It's something that he's worked towards because that's his passion, and then he's sorted it all out. It's so cool.
Yeah.
And big shout out to Marcus for keeping the Instagram going for that long.
There's no one else you want on your crew, really, is there?
No, he keeps it exactly where it should be.
Yeah.
Says the right things at the right time, and then Jeff's there is just the leveler. He's the leveler.
Excellent. Right. I'll hand over to you and Josie to talk about our community program.
Indeed. Enjoy.
Robert Foster, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Robert Jones. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. We are here to talk about the community package, what it is, why it's designed the way it is, what people can get, and really the results that you can achieve from following this package or this plan.
It's a very tenuous link, but yes, we are indeed.
I've been told to talk about.
What do you want me to talk about?
Firstly, we have many different offerings here at Inner Fight Endurance. We have one-to-one coaching. We've got Ladies Run Club. We've got Trail Run Club. We have community memberships. I think Steph told me today there's 9 different options for Ladies Run Club. We've got cycling, or we used to have Start to Cycle. We have Start to Run. We have Strength for Endurance. We have, what else?
Everything.
We have everything.
We literally have everything. But everything you could ever want as an endurance athlete.
Exactly.
We have.
But one of these memberships is the community package. What is it?
So we came up with it because we have so many offerings, but also we have a huge community that people really wanted to get involved with. So we thought, what can we do to facilitate this? Now we have weekly sessions that we run. So Monday we have riding, Tuesdays running track Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have all these options that are like one-to-one coach athletes are able to come to, but there was never an option really for somebody to come on a consistent basis who didn't need one-to-one coaching. So from there we thought, okay, does this actually work? Will this as a concept work? Can people come along and just attend what they like and have fun and like gain energy and experience and expertise from the coaches within that community setting? And the answer is quite a strong yes. So we've run this out to try and help increase our community and also give people the option who haven't necessarily got something to train for, but want to get stronger, an option to get to train with us. That's pretty much it, to be honest with you.
Perfect. And that's, I guess, where Trail Running Club was born from as well. So it's a community offering, but then we have trail runs bolted on. So we have that specificity for the trail runners. And I guess the community membership is ideal for triathletes and runners because you have then the specificity of going for community bike rides.
Yeah, and also for cyclists, right? So you've got a Monday, Wednesday, and a Saturday pretty consistently.
Yeah.
You've also got now Marcus and yourself and Tom pottering off most weekends to go do some form of mountain biking. So there's loads of buy-ins there and there's loads of options for people to do. I think it's just we have such a strong community of people who are positive. People are all driving towards the same sort of thing, which is, what is it? Smash life and have fun, right?
Smash life.
But we've got good sessions in there that anybody can jump into. So, for example, if you're a one-on-one coach athlete and you want to come in anyway to train with us to use the energy and the positivity of our environment, then we provide the best environment for that. We provide every session's coached. every session has a purpose, it's explained well, you then get a bit of like debriefing afterwards. So you get that sense of purposefulness. So it's not all solitary. So if I have a remote coach in Timbuktu, it's a lovely place, great. But I don't see my coach that often. And even though I have like chats with them, I'm still not able to be and train with anybody.
Yeah.
So what are the options for me? I train alone, especially triathlon. It's a very, can be a very lonely sport for good and bad things. So is there a place where I can do my speed work? Is there somewhere I can do a hard session on a Wednesday on the bike? Yes, yes, yes. We have answers for all that. We're also now restarting our sea swim for the winter. So there's skill work in that as well. So there's loads of options for multi-sporters or single sporters to get great access to excellent environment to train, meet some really cool people and train with people, which is, if you want to get faster, you tend to have to train with people.
How, let's say I have myself a coach, my one-to-one coach, but I'm, something you said there, which was interesting, is it's a triathlon could be quite a solo sport. If you're looking for that community and you want to hop into, say, our Track Tuesday session, what if it's not the same or it's not same stimulus as what your one-to-one coach perhaps is trying to get you to do? How do you slot that into your training week? Is it important? Is it not important?
It's important for the coach to personalize for sure. But as we use Training Peaks as our program to put sessions in, so we put the 4-week block in for the athlete to see, and also thereby their coach who can amend paces, who can say, okay, that's not the right stimulus for this week. So if you're in 2-week taper zone, probably not going to do full gas effort on a Tuesday. You probably want to dial that back a little bit or do some race specific intervals. So it's manageable with somebody's diary based on forward planning. It's everything, in my opinion, every session can be made specific for you.
Yeah.
So a track session, say 5x1Ks or 200s up to 5,000s, whatever, it can be managed to align with your program. So for an external coach coming in, it'll be okay. But it's also good for if you're like a if you've just finished your race, your big A race of the year, and you're coached by one of us at Inner Fight Endurance, and you're thinking, okay, but I don't really got anything I need to train for necessarily at the minute. I appreciate this time, but I also need a bit of downtime, but I want to stay in part of the community. Then it's a good option.
Definitely.
It's definitely something to consider. Like whether you value what your coach does outside of building for a competition, it's entirely up to you. But some people work in like highs and lows, right? And you need downtime. So it allows that connection point as well as keeping within the community and keeping you within the ecosystem of Inner Fight.
Yeah. I think one thing that I've had from people that have maybe tried to do some of the sessions that we put on their own, if you like, outside of the community, it's just that they don't, either one of two things happened. They don't finish the session because they think or perceive it to be too hard, probably because they're running it on their own, or they don't hit the paces that they should for the session because they don't have that community around them. And so perhaps people that are running solo or don't have a community, their hard sessions, I'm air quoting, you can't see that. Their hard sessions aren't as hard as they probably yielded for. Thanks. Watch the YouTube version. Their hard sessions aren't as hard as they could be or should be to get the stimulus that they are looking to get from that desired session. That was a mouthful.
Yeah, if you're solo and you don't know how to judge your pace, then you just sit in the tempo town forever, don't you?
Yeah.
You just sit in the gray zone and just stay there forever. So you never actually get the high intensity stimulus that you need. So from a track session or from a VO2 on a bike, you don't get that. You get it, but you'll probably go about 2-3% higher within a track session or a VO2 on a bike.
Yeah.
And then you're able to sort of realize that that is hard and then this is easy. And then you're also guided to that.
I want to segue this into the programming of the sessions, because I know you've taken the reins for Track Tuesday for the last block. Is this
no
have you not?
No.
Tom Walker stitched you up. He told me that you wrote the sessions.
I wrote one session.
The sessions that we've done recently, I think last week, probably for the first time in a long time, I saw people push themselves to a level of difficulty that they haven't done in a while. And there were people that were blowing up or finishing the session looking like they'd run a true track session, whereas maybe before they'd finished and they they felt okay. They felt like it was too easy. What do you think the difference is, or how has programming changed the last few months?
Didn't know where you're going with that one. Me and Tom sit down every month and just review what our purpose of each training block is.
Yeah.
So you'll usually find within the track sessions, within the Wednesday ride sessions, there's a theme that comes across. So whether it's hitting threshold, whether it's hitting VO2, whether we're looking for race-specific stimulus, whether we're dialing in for a marathon, those sort of themes should come across. Now, in the summer, it's very hard to judge intensity because the day-to-day variation in temperature doesn't really allow to give good pacing strategies and also good session lengths. Without one day, you'll absolutely end yourself within the first half, and then the next week, you'll feel like you haven't worked. So it's difficult to judge. So we try to work more on stimulus of like real maximal outputs, whereas now going into the winter, we're looking at more longer sessions that will start to build into a lot more race specific, like bigger threshold efforts, so that people get an idea of what they can sustain. And then because it's endurance, because we feel like we haven't done a good session unless we're on the floor rolling around dying, our pop mat's very much discouraged. Do not do that. Stand up straight, no hands on hips. We get more of a sense that we can push further and further and further. So the efforts there, the average length of the effort will get longer over the coming months. So you might do 5K worth of effort in the middle of summer, and that'll be broken down to twos and fours or threes. So massive neuromuscular stimulus and therefore fatigue. And then in the winter, you'll see longer efforts that go out to about 6.8, 7K sometimes, and depending on what your coach programs for you, a little bit longer if needs be. So then it all becomes a bit thresholdy. So you're working a lot harder for a lot longer, but they're more manageable paces, because as endurance athletes, we are rubbish at the short stuff and we are great at the middle ground.
And we see that as well. The theme continues across into our tempo run on a Friday. So if we look at the first coffee run block that you started, I want to say the beginning of September, it was shorter. You maybe had five or six efforts that were building in intensity across the session. And those efforts have increased in time domain, but kept the same speed intensity. And for the first time since summer, now you've attached rough pacing guidelines to those blocks versus RPE.
Yeah, we try, especially during summer, right? Actually, this can apply all around like the year, but sticking to RPE is generally a decent rule of thumb. It allows for everything, and it allows for running IQ, as we all know well, is how well you judge the effort based on what your body feedback says. And so that is a key component. So during the summer, it's best to go on that. Therefore, you don't get disheartened by a pace that's like a minute and a half slower than what you're seeing usually. And the fact that we're lengthening the blocks out is more specific to upcoming marathons and half marathons. It's transitional. So we're at this time of year, it's really cool because we are going full gas into race specific stuff. Dot Running came up with a really good question today. She said, is that not getting easier? Is that session not getting? I was like, yeah, technically it is in terms of TSS. But if people are judging the pace, right, it gets them to dial in and use that higher TSS or that higher RPE over the previous weeks and figure out what is their true, like, 6 out of 10, for example, which is a really important skill to learn. And that, I mean, you can do that on your own, but you have, in a community set, you have good reference points, which people you run with often, so they can really help you stay aligned to that. And because the normal chatter when you're in, a running pod, it's really good to help you figure out, number one, if you're conversational.
Yeah.
If you're working too hard. And also at points where you feel a little bit rubbish and just ease off the gas, there's always somebody next to you to help you run harder. And that sometimes can be your true RPE.
Yes. I think a mistake I see, this may be going a bit off track, is people that like to run in groups will generally try and run in similar groups each week.
Yeah.
And when they're not feeling so good, quite often they're reluctant to drop because this is their group, this is their pace, this is where they should be, and they don't necessarily account for how things will feel day to day. Like if they go out on the piss on a Thursday night and then turn up to a tempo run on a Friday and expect to hold the same RPE for a session, then they're going to be spat out the back, or their RP is going to be far higher than it should be for that block. So people need to have, I think, self-awareness to slow things down when they're not feeling well and realize that's okay.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's just the same. And then that person who runs a bit too hard in that session to keep with their tribe for that run will, a week later down, will be absolutely cooked.
Yeah.
Because that cumulative fatigue will shoot them in the foot. So that track session that's meant to be the best effort for 90 seconds or for 5 minutes will turn out to be your, I could have gone harder, but my legs are a bit heavy.
Yeah.
So it's all about seeing that bigger picture. Again, it's these are the things that are made aware with you quite obviously throughout the week. I mean, there is a lot of threshold in our week in terms of the community, but there are good guiding voices within, like, just athletes and the coaches who can say, yeah, you look a bit cooked, just relax. That's important.
Now, we used to joke about in the office here that people that would follow the community plan would get perhaps a 10% aerobic to 90% threshold split across their week. But fortunately, that is not actually the case. And the community membership has had some really fantastic results, most notably this weekend at Salalah 70.3.
Yeah, yeah. Slade Baker, she came on board a little while ago looking for a community to train with.
Yeah.
She's actually, full disclosure, she gets trained by a mum. And her mum's awesome. We met her the first training ride she came out with us, I think. She came to one track and then...
She came to track, yeah.
And then she came to Into the Darkness.
Too much threshold.
She came to Into the Darkness to do a brick session with her mum, who's her coach, and just come over to South Africa.
Yeah.
Ah, so cool. But yeah, she's a pretty perfect example of what can be achieved. So we drop the community membership into her Training Peaks, and then her mum goes and sifts through what she needs from it. And actually, it tends to be most of it, which is quite cool. Like, and then she adds volume on top of it. And
yes,
I think what Slade's got from it is accountability. Also, we're able to be there, not as her actual coach, but as acting assistant coaches to say, how is it going? Check in with her. She can then also find a good load of community who went up to Salalah. So Coach Jess went with them. They also had three other athletes going up them and some other affiliated people we know and a part of our little wider circle. And it just gives a sense of belonging. And I think that motivation for the days where you feel like rubbish is really important. And that consistency and that drive. And then Slade's come to all the track. She loves the Wednesday ride. The Saturday ride is the best fun because she gets to go threshold for 3 hours. Joking, she doesn't.
And she runs with us on Fridays as well for some tempo.
So it opens up, right?
It's interesting because I have some one-to-one clients that are in the UK, and one of them has our track Tuesday session, but he's got a little group of runners that he works with, and they'll all go and run our track session together around the local track, and he'll lead the session, which is pretty cool. And I have somebody else who will take our track session out of Training Peaks, and they'll go to a running club and do their high intensity track session instead. Same thing, just put the session into Training Peaks. I'll have a look at it, see if it's suitable before the week is in. And usually it's spot on for what they need. But they are getting that community for those high intensity interval sessions.
Yeah, it's very good. I've got two people in the UK do that as well. So they go to a track session on a Tuesday. They send me the workout as they get sent it.
Mm.
And yeah, it's the same thing. They get a sense of community and they're able to push. And I'd much rather, if I am a coach, if I'm going to put a hard threshold set, I know that that person's going to run harder
and
be pure threshold, pure VO2, if they're with a group of people who are faster than them.
Definitely.
I think it goes without saying any good coach would want it to happen because it's so beneficial.
And also what they have there, I guess, a good example here with Slade is that we're not her coach.
No.
We provide her with a coaching community, or a coached community, I think is probably the better term.
That's a good
one. If we're picking up that on a Tuesday, she's running at 3:15 per K for a session and she's dropping off to 3:30, we can have a conversation with her to slow down for that day, or she's done for the day, that her mum wouldn't have been able to have because she wasn't there on site.
Yeah.
So we can do that with anyone that joins the community that has a different coach. They're getting real-time coaching.
Exactly. And that's that for some people who are actually one-on-one clients, that's one of the most valuable things we offer, is that the eye of the coach. The eye of the coach sounds like Lord of the Rings, but it is. If you can see your athletes and you can see the move and how they're actually figuring things out and how they're looking, then you know your athlete.
Yeah.
Then you know they're cooked, or you know they're on a good day, and so you know to push them.
Yeah.
And even though we're not Slade's coach, she came second in Salalah, by the way. Like second. Overall female.
Second female overall in Salalah. So that'll take her off to the World Championships in Nice next year.
Should we smash? 70.3.
70.3.
It's New Zealand. It's our in Taupo, I think. Anyway, yeah, we diverge. Yeah, so being there, like hands on the ground or feet on the ground and saying, okay, you look cooked. And even though we don't coach, we know her.
Yeah.
So we're able to comment from a decent background of, I've watched you run for 2 months now. That doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Or if they've got any, like, niggles and stuff, they can come to us and say, yeah, I've got a niggle. We'll just relax.
There's some feedback I've had from people that have come to some of our coach sessions when they have maybe four or five of us coaching a session at different places or different points. Going, fuck off, I've just been told that by Rob. You just said the same thing 2 minutes later, or Jess has said it, and then Steph said it, and then you've said it, and then, but they're getting the same message about run form or you know, their mindset or head position or just chatting shit to groups, whatever it might be. They're getting the same feedback and the same coaching from us as a team, which I think is very, very valuable.
Yeah, and that's I think the power, again, of the community. It's a stupid thing to say, but it's absolutely true. Like, we are a really inclusive bunch of people who have athletes, and we coach athletes and are athletes that have a massive range in ability and disciplines. So we coach everybody, right? We coach everybody and everything. We have got people who are doing 5Ks, people are doing ultras, people who are riding the bike for the first time to riding up on a multi-day stage like Gran Fondo or something. So we really have a great group of people who can resonate in the times of we're pushing to become better. And that positive environment, which is supportive and uplifts you and keeps you accountable, I think is worth a lot. It's a lot of what we need in Dubai, it's a lot of what we need in the endurance community. It's just complete mixed bag coming together as one.
Yeah, definitely. I think as well, what we have, because it's a paid coached community, you don't have the flakiness. So if somebody says they're going to go to something, they go to it because one, they're accountable to the coaches that are there, and two, because they're accountable to their community. They're all paying members. Three, just because we're all nice people.
It's just because it's in a fight. It's just because it's also in a fight, right? So you're there at 59.
You're there at 59.
It's a certain set of standards of, like, if you say you're going to be somewhere, you be somewhere.
And if you're late, we've gone.
It's happened Sorry. Many times.
It happens many every week. If you're late, we've just started. So how to get involved? Head to innerfight.com. Click on the drop-down link that says endurance. It's the second one down there after classes. And then you will see down there, there is a big banner called community membership. Train with the best endurance community in the world. Click on the get started. You'll fill out a nice little form. We'll find out some information about you and you will join the community membership.
I don't know why you're whispering there. You're just
Dimitri,
telling it off,
telling it off. Our sound guy will turn it up.
Okay, yeah.
I'm leaving the suspense.
Oh, sorry.
Excellent. Anything else to add?
No, not really.
Good. I was told to talk to you for 20 minutes and we're at 22.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Tom.
Tom Walker needs to talk about his mountain biking.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. That's his race in the Dolomites. If he's already talked, then this will sound weirdly out of sync because we're talking about something you've just listened to. And if not, here is Tom. And if not, have a great weekend, week, day. Thank you for listening.